Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Byrne. It's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, August 26th, 2013. What do you say there, fuckos? How are you? How's it going? Holy shit. Where did the summer go? You know, I always make fun of that. I always make fun of people who go, oh my God, can you believe it's already August? I worked my ass off this summer, so the summer did fly by. I can't believe it. I didn't get to lay out or anything. I didn't get to tan myself up. I didn't get to red myself up at all. You know, did you guys lay out there, get a little skin cancer? I'm finally back in Los Angeles. After spending a month in New Orleans, I had a great fucking time down there. Ended it on a great note. You know, I settled my differences with the city. I finally said, you know what, you win. I'm going to have some of your fried fucking food. And I ended up going, I went bow fishing out in the bayou. A fucking bow and arrow, right? I got myself a six-pack of Bud Talls. This is America. For you people overseas right now, for you people over there, I don't know what we did to you. I don't know what we're doing to you right now, or what we're going to do to you in the future. That's going to make you fucking passively aggressively attack the great game of American football, you know, because you won't get to the real core of the issue that you don't like our foreign policy. And by our, I mean me, because I sit in on those meetings. I'm making the calls, you know? And all you fucking cunts over there who, every week I'm getting these fucking emails of people still shitting, acting like NFL football players aren't tough compared to rugby because they wear helmets. Do you realize how fucking dumb that is? That's like saying, well, you know, so basically if you're in a car, you can drive it into a tree and you won't get hurt because you're in a car. Is that what you're telling me? Huh? With all your portly fucking white guys waddling around out there, putting shoulders into chests? Okay? It's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about a bunch of pasty fucking white dudes running around who can't even run a fucking 5-second 40. That's not what we're talking about at all. All right? We're talking about a game that is played at a size and speed that is not seen overseas. It just isn't. You know why? Because you're not big enough. You're not fast enough. And you know why that is? Because you never went to a country that was bigger and stronger and forced them to come over here and do all the hard shit. See? What you guys did was you fucking went to where they lived and you tried to fucking build a castle over there. Stupid. Stupid fucking move. And what happened? You lost all of it. So what do you do now? Do you own up to it? And just say, you know what? America's better at pressing the world right now than we are. No. You don't man up and say that. You send me cunty fucking emails about a goddamn game. I've told you from the very beginning, rugby players are the toughest sons of bitches. You know, they're tough. You know, great fucking game. I really enjoy it. Okay? Well, let's not pretend that if Leon Lett right now rolled off the fucking couch and decided to run down the fucking pitch in some short shorts, that, you know, those guys wouldn't be falling over on their backs. They would. I'm sorry. It's bigger. It's stronger. It's faster. Hence, you know, and then you put a helmet on. Now you got a weapon. That's all it is. It protects your skull, but your fucking brain's going inside of that fucking thing. And next thing you know, you're on the roof of your house when you're 40 years old shooting at mall cops. That's what happens to our retired players. What do you guys do? Huh? Fucking get your ears fixed? Finally get that wedgie taken out of your ass? I don't know what you do when you retire as a rugby player. I'm sorry, people. I'm a little grumpy right now. All right. I finished my acting gig, my big song and dance number down there. I'd like to thank Mike Binder for giving me a shot on that thing. And the second I was done, I ended up going up to Boston before I came home because I had a gig at the MGM casino there in Connecticut, not in Las Vegas. I played the one in Connecticut, which is like going to the University of Miami, Ohio. No, I'm kidding. It was a great gig. And I want to thank everybody who showed up and everything. And I was in a fucking grumpy mood when I came out on that one. I started shitting on Paul Verzi. I was going off on the traffic. I just really needed to go home and have a fudgicle. You know, some comforts. I don't know what the fuck I needed. I'm still all wound up. Ah, fuck. Where the hell did this fucking year go? I got to tell you this. I lost my shit. I know I started to tell some... Oh, bow fishing. I'll get back to that. Remind me. Remind me to get back to the bow fishing thing. I forgot what the fuck I was just going to talk about. Oh, the traffic. My fucking brain moves in a straight line. A very slow but it fucking line, but it is a straight line. If I miss the exit, it just keeps going, and I can't turn around. See, it made me fucking forget the traffic. I lost my shit like 3 fucking times when I was up in Boston. All right? I fucking hate that city now. I love it. I love the sports teams, but I hate that fucking city. Because you land in it, and the first thing you drive into is that Big Dig, which is the biggest fucking scam I ever perpetrated when it comes to fucking transportation. Jesus, talked my way out of that one, didn't I? I didn't know where to go with that. How the fuck do you shit on a highway? These fucking assholes. They just took everything, they put it underground, and they made it all one lane. Everything's fucking one lane. I don't know if they're anticipating some plague or something. I don't know what. But that thing, like, this should just be like Model T's. Oh, God, driving around that fucking thing. They didn't add any lanes. Every time I go in there, the whole fucking thing shut down. They got the Ted Williams Tunnel. You know what they should have outside the head? Ted Williams Tunnel. They should have his head upside down on a tuna can. You know, like made out of concrete in tribute to, and then tell his family that we're going to fucking leave that up there until you give that man the proper burial that he fucking deserves. So anyways, you go into fucking Teddy Ballgame Tunnel, and there is enough room for like 5 fucking lanes, and there's only 2, and then there's this, I don't know what, this bike lane for the obese. What is the fucking, it's never open, and then the other one always has cones on it. Sorry, I've gone there like 3 times this fucking year. And no matter what time I drive in there, there's fucking traffic because of that shit. Oh, I'm in a mood. I am in a mood, people. I admit it. And here's another thing. I'm driving down to my gig, going down to the fucking MGM thing there. MGM Miami, Ohio gig that I had. And it's fucking 2:30 on a Friday afternoon. Should be wide open. Bumper to bumper fucking traffic. You know? Bumper to bumper fucking traffic. It got to the point I literally wanted to roll down the window and ask the guy next to me, just be like, where the fuck are you going? Don't you have a job? Are you also a comedian? You know, do you work the fucking night shift? Please tell me you're actually driving to your job and you're not just out here to be out here. I fucking come back from the MGM thing. I get myself 4 fucking hours to get up to Logan Airport. No, 3 hours to get up to fucking Logan Airport so I'd have a 2-hour fucking window to get to my goddamn plane. And I end up getting in bumper-to-bumper traffic the second I get near the South Shore Plaza. Bumper-to-fucking-bumper traffic. It's like 12:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday. You know, those fucking idiots sat in traffic Monday through Friday. Do they like sitting in traffic? It actually made me look up the population. I was like, hey, is the population exploding in this country? Because I didn't think we were doing that bad. I started doing the road hardcore around 97, 98. We had about 267 million people. We'll just say 268, okay? Before I get some cunty email from somebody who works from the census. And now we're up to 313.9. So we'll call that 314. All right, so what's that? Oh, Jesus, he's going to do some math here. That's 32 million plus 14 million. That's 46 million people spread out over 50 states. I don't fucking know if that's the problem or what, but I'll tell you, they're all out on the highway. It's almost worth being president, you know, just so you don't have to sit in fucking traffic. It's almost worth just becoming an absolute yes man and signing off on shit like spying on American people being able to put American citizens in jail indefinitely without a fucking trial just because you think they're a fucking terrorist. It's almost worth doing that. You know? Just so you don't have to sit in the traffic. Maybe I'll just get like a helicopter license. I'll get one of those little two-seater ones, you know? Basically the smart car of air travel. There's a lot of flat fucking things out there that you can land on. Structures. And what are people going to do if you land on their roof and just rappel down? What are they going to call a tow truck? Hey, you can't leave it there. Yeah, I just did. I'll be back in 20 minutes. You don't even know who the fuck to call about this. What are you going to call? The cops? You guys are standing there with your hands on your hips? Oh, that is a helicopter. You know? Well, fucking keep it. I don't give a shit. I'll get another one. All right? Cost me $400. Look at it. I don't know. Sorry. This is just all... This is what being away from your shit for a month does to you. And then you come home and you have a mountain of junk mail. You know what I realize in my mail? Nobody sends me anything nice. I don't get one fucking... Hey, just thinking about you. I guess that's emails now. You know, back in the day when somebody would just, you know, because you couldn't call them, you had to have some fucking jerk off ride a pony with your goddamn. They didn't ride a pony, they rode a horse. Why did they call it the Pony Express? Did I ever tell you guys when I was a kid, I thought a pony was a little horse, and eventually it grew into a horse? So these fucking people down the street had a pony, and it was ridiculous. They had it tied up to the back of their house. I don't even think they had a fence. Fucking, or maybe they had a little bit of a fence. But this thing just stood there. We're driving by the thing for years, and I finally looked over at my mother. I'm like, when is that pony going to turn into a horse? She just sort of looked at me, you know. I didn't realize that look when I was a kid, but I realize it now. Where she just was like, she was literally looking at me like, who did I mate with that came out of me and just asked me that? Oh, shit. Anyways, so I want to thank everybody who came out to the MGM in Connecticut, wherever the hell I was. It's fucking beautiful out there. That's the one thing I do like. And the one thing I really do miss about living out here in L.A. is I miss all those trees and the lakes. I love that shit. You know? I'm going to be one of those douchebags that fucking sells his house here in the city and just goes out and gets a ranch. Can't even fucking change a light bulb. Buy the whole outfit, you know? Big stupid cowboy hat and some chaps. Getting in and out of my Prius. You know? No, I could drive my old truck. That's what I'd do. And before I went in town to get provisions, I'd just roll around in the dirt to make it look like I was actually out doing something. Oh, Christ. Anyways... Oh, you know what? Let's bang out a little fucking. Should we? No. You know what? I started talking about the bow fishing. Let's finish it. So my last night there, I get invited out to go bow fishing, and I was just like, yeah, I'll fucking do that. Shoot fish with the bow and arrow. I don't know how to do that, but I would like to know how to do it. Why not? Right. So. We fucking go out there. It's like a group of four. And we meet these guys at a gas station. You got to get a fishing license and all this shit. And, you know, I got a six-pack of Budweiser. I mean, you're getting on a boat. I mean, you have to. Where I'm from, you have to do that. If you're getting on a boat, you have to have a six-pack of something. And you got to drink it or else you're an asshole. So I got it. And one of the guys is like, dude, you're going to have a weapon. It's like, yeah, well, I'm not going to be pointing it at you or me. Pointing it at the fish. Let's try to make this a little sporting here. You know? It's not like I'm taking a stick like Tom Hanks in that fucking movie where he talked to the soccer ball, Castaway. Well said, right? Dude, we went out on this fan boat. All the way out in the fucking bayou. It was terrifying. It was fucking, the second we got out there was because we did it at night. It was a full moon. It was the shit. You know, I kept thinking of, you know, that movie Southern Comfort with Powers Booth?
That's what I thought about. And I felt good that I was thinking about that and not Deliverance, because I feel like that's hacky at this point. You know? One fat, pasty dude gets banged in the ass in the woods, and nobody can remember Southern Comfort after that. It's fucking ridiculous. I think it's high time that stops. All right? So anyways, it was amazing. Basically, when you bow fish, I don't know where to even begin this shit. The guy had like a flashlight, one of these Born in the Bayou guys, and he go, right there, right there, right there, right there. He also threw the bow and arrows, trying to shoot some fish that was just fucking chilling out. And basically what you do is you shoot wherever the fish looks like it is, you shoot like 5 inches below it, because it's an illusion, man, because of the water. So it took a little bit of time to get used to that. So what I did was I started aiming at all these small fish, just bringing the bow up, because I realized I was just shooting. I wasn't aiming. I was just kind of shooting in the general direction. I kept missing. So I was practicing on the little fish. I didn't shoot at them. I would just bring it up just to get the muscle memory. And I did all right. I hit three in about 3 hours. I averaged like 1 an hour. It was a lot of looking for them. I'm not going to lie to you. So I wasn't that bad, but I missed a lot. But I got three, including one. We fucking pulled this thing in, and it was had an alligator face, and the back looked like an eel. It's called an alligator gar. The thing looked beyond evil. Looked like a fucking dinosaur. And we got in the boat, and they're like, all right, watch out, watch your feet. Don't let it bite you. Don't let it bite you and all that shit. And everybody's like, dude, you got to get a picture with that. You got blood on your face. It looks fucking awesome. Everybody's saying all this shit, you know? And I got to tell you, you tap into that inner fucking caveman. Because when I went out there, I immediately had this sinking feeling like I can't go back to fucking the village without bringing home something to eat. That's still in me. And the village was my fucking hotel room where I have room service. It was fucking stupid. But I literally felt that. I don't want to be the guy that doesn't fucking get something. So anyways, so now I'm feeling like a fucking man because I killed this goddamn thing. And I don't know. So I'm like, all right, so what do we do here? You know, we killed a bunch of fish. And I asked the guy, I go, can you guys are going to, you know, clean these things? You put the fucking meat on ice or some shit and ship it to me? And the guy's just like, yeah, no, no. So then I was like, well, what the fuck? We're just out here killing shit? And it just kind of bugged me. Oh, no. What's going on here? How come I'm not getting any readings here? I think it's recording. What the fuck is going on with my mixer? Oh, is it just saying it's really loud? What is this? What is this? Come on. Come on. Talk to me. Talk to me. What's wrong with my mixer? Ah, Jesus Christ. Now I gotta shut this off. I'm going to have to splice this together. You're not going to notice, but I got to make sure I'm recording here. Hang on. All right, so it was recording. I don't know what the fuck's going on with the mixer. What did I do? What did I do to it? Who gives a shit? So anyways, So at that point, I was like, all right, well, I killed three of these things. The other two that I shot, they were fucking beautiful, really thick. And I was like, you know, if I'm going to kill these things, I want to fucking eat it. I just want to be putting holes in shit. But anyways, I guess that alligator gar thing can survive out of the water for a couple hours. So we were able to put that one back, or they said they were going to. So I don't know. That's the only part I didn't like. Other than that, it was fucking great. And, yeah, I felt like I was in, like, a Mad Max movie. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Just next time I do it, I only want to kill, like, one. You know, or kill, like, two or three and then fucking clean them. Take it and fucking eat it for the week. Does that make sense? I'll tell you what made me feel bad was I went home and I looked up the alligator gar and I was waiting for it to be, oh, the most vicious fucking alligator eel this side of the fucking Mississippi, yada yada, and they didn't. It was just like, yeah, it's very docile. If it sees you, it's shy and swims away. And I was like, oh man, I shot a fucking nerd, an ugly nerd fish with an arrow, and I judged it because of its face, like it was evil, you know. I don't know, the people I went with, they also hunt wild pigs. That's something else I could shoot. I could shoot a fucking pig. Deer, I couldn't do that. Who's kidding who? If I was starving, I could do it. You know? I'd shoot a fucking cat if I was hungry. hungry enough. Does anything I learned from reading that fucking book, Fly Boys, and no, that's not about a boy band. You know, what's up, Brooklyn? We are Fly Boys. sorry, I saw the VMAs were on tonight. What's the deal with VMAs? I know a lot of people say this, but doesn't MTV have a lot of fucking balls? They don't show videos, but they still have their Video Music Awards. You know, I know that's completely hacky, but like, I actually saw some of the videos. I'm like, these are fucking great videos. I wish they would show them. Where can I see these? How do I know this music is out? Where do I go now? Can anybody help me? Well, can you? All right, let's do a little bit of advertising here for this week, everybody. All right, Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Dollar. There are so many things in the world that irritate me. Traffic at 2:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday or a Friday. You know? Stewardesses who just love talking on that microphone.
We want to thank you for flying American Airlines. Our flying time today is 3 hours, 22 minutes, and 18 seconds. There's going to be a time difference.
Shut up, lady. Sit down. When so many things can irritate you, why add razors to the list? That doesn't make any sense, does it? It's time to stop milking your razor blade, everybody. I know with brand name razors, you're used to paying outrageous prices and exhausting those razors until they start to look like rusty soda cans and start carving up your face there. It's time to move on. Move on to a better world. Dollar Shave Club delivers amazing quality blades to your door for just a few bucks a month, everybody. Never think about it again. They send a pack every so you can change your blades every week. That's not me. That's missing a thing. They send you a pack every month, I guess is what it's supposed to be. So you can change your blades every week. I love these guys, and your face will love them too. They also got a brand new product called One Wipe Charlie's. You know, if that line was in the movie Platoon, that would probably be really offensive. Hey, One Wipe Charlie. It's a butt wipe for men. What? And it's classy. Check out the video for that. There's no way. There's no way that's true. There's no way that's true. They got a new butt. I hope it's true. One Wipe Charlie's. It's a butt wipe for men. Well, what about women? They supposed to walk around with a stinky ass? Or are you trying to say that they wipe their asses better? Oh, my God. The sky is falling. Anyways, I guess they're classy. Check out the video for that if you're into scat. And sign up for your razors today. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. Or go to BillBurr.com and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
I really hope one wipe Charlie's was a joke, because that's hilarious.
You mean baby wipes? The baby wipes, the poor man's bidet? Hulu Plus, everyone. I'm sure you've tried Hulu.com, but I want to tell you about Hulu Plus. Hence the title, Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, streaming on your TV or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. Why stand in line or ride a train and just stare at your feet? Why would you want to do that when you can be watching your favorite shows on Hulu Plus? Hulu Plus is a great way to binge watch your favorite shows. Hulu Plus has tons of episodes from great comedies like SNL, Community, Modern Family, South Park, Family Guy, and thousands of other shows. Hey, how much is it a month? $7.99. That's $7.99. $7.99. Okay, before you think it's really expensive. All right? For all the shows and movies you can watch. Catch up on current shows, binge watch on old favorites, or catch a great movie. You can do it all on Hulu Plus. Right now you can try Hulu Plus for a couple of weeks free on me when you go to the podcast page at BillBurr.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner, or go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. All right, please make sure you use HuluPlus.com/Bill so you can get an extended free trial. Extending it. Stretching the defense. Throwing the long ball on first down here so they know that we sent you. All right, there you go. HuluPlus.com/Bill. One more here. E-Voice. Okay, if you're an entrepreneur and a customer calls, do you want to seem like you're in a high-rise, window view, fancy pants office? Of course you do. Wouldn't you want to do that, or do you want to... Oh, wait. Or do you want them to know you're sitting in your underwear? Like me right now doing this podcast. You don't want that. You want to come off like a pro.
With eVoice, you can create the appearance of an entire building. Sales, customer support, tech support, you name it, it sounds like you got the whole damn thing. Give your customers the royal treatment with eVoice. eVoice will forward business calls to your home, mobile, or any number you choose. Wherever you are, eVoice will find you. It's kind of creepy. Don't have time to take a call? It's routed to a voicemail, and you can read it at your convenience as an email. eVoice not only gives you an edge over your competition, it takes away the edge the big companies have over you right now because you can pretend to be just as big as they are. And now you can try eVoice for free for 30 days. Go to eVoice.com and use the promo code Bill, B-I-L-L. That's eVoice promo code Bill. Or just go to the podcast page at BillBird.com and click on that eVoice banner. God damn you. All right. Back to the podcast. Yeah, so there you go. You can add that to my list of skills. All right. I can bow fish hunt. Provided somebody shows up with the bow and the arrow and has the boat. That's not bad, right? That's a good skill to have. When the dollar collapses and I'm out here in the desert with no lakes. Well, I can modify it then. You know, what the fuck could I shoot? What can you shoot that's not a fish but it's like a fish and it's out of the water? I know, a toddler. There you go. And you know what? I wouldn't be killing more than I was going to eat. I'd only take one. Bill, why are you talking about cannibalisms? Because I just read an amazing book called Flyboys. Jesus Christ, what a book. What a fucking book that was. It's unreal. Everybody has done horrific things around the planet. Like right now, how we're sitting there giving the powers that be shit over there in Syria, Damascus, whatever the fuck it is, for possibly using chemical weapons. I don't know. Some of the shit we've done, we got a lot of fucking nerve. Is this thing recording? What is with my goddamn electronics this week? I don't know. You know what, Bill? Stop blaming the technology. Why don't you man up? You got to read this book. It's really just balanced, and it just shows the fucking horrific shit that basically the Americans did and the Japanese did to each other, and then also the unbelievable heroic stuff that they did. It's the whole goddamn thing. Every color of the rainbow. I don't know how to talk about it without fucking ruining the book. I don't know. I can tell you one fucking story. Who's kidding? Who? Douchebags aren't going to read it. If you listen to this podcast, there's no way you read. I'll tell you one quick story, all right? This will probably take 2 minutes if you want to fucking fast forward. They're going in to bomb this goddamn island shaped like a horseshoe, right? And the thing is what they're bombing, all right, is right in the, you know what a horseshoe looks like, right? Sure, we all do. We all have a fucking crazy uncle that has a horse, don't you? Or a pony. All right, the bottom of the horseshoe, not the two ends where the luck runs out if you hang it upside down, right there, like you're going around the corner, right? Right down there. What part of the horseshoe is that called? You know what's funny? People who do crossword puzzles know what that part of the horseshoe is called. Anyways, that part down there, like if you're pouring water into it, where it would gather. We got it, Bill. That's where the fucking radio station was, and they had to basically fly right into it. All right? But on the sides, that's where the mountains were. They were actually above where the airplanes were. The mountains on the sides were so high up, and these guys had to come in so low that the anti-aircraft fire was coming down on them. These guys had to have the fucking balls, 20 years old, 19, 20 years old, to fly in there and just be like, well, they're not going to get me. The other guy's going to get it. And knowing full well that if they got caught, they were going to get fucking tortured. And just, they basically told them to keep one in the chamber and just fucking blow your brains out. Because if these guys catch you after the shit you've done, you know, because once airplanes got involved, I guess way more civilians started to get killed. And I know that sounds obvious, but like I never really thought about that. I thought back in the day, like the Revolutionary Wars, I mean, I thought people just, you know, just indiscriminately raped and pillaged and went all the way around. I guess you could, but you had to be a man about it, you know? You had to kick open the door, you know, kill a couple of males and then tackle somebody in a house coat. You know, all kinds of scratches to your face. I mean, yeah, you got dirty. You got dirty back in the day. But all of a sudden, the advent of the aerotype plane there, right? Does this sound as dumb as it sounds to me out loud? They fucking You could just fly over, you know. You're trying to hit a warehouse. You hit a house. You blow up a couple of babies and some people. They fucking hated these pilots. They thought they were cowards. They thought they were devils. And so they didn't want to get caught or whatever. So this fucking guy is flying in. Anti-aircraft fire comes in. The flak. That's what they call it, flak. That's what I call when my boss would give me shit for not unloading a truck quick enough. That's what I called flak at 20 years of age. These guys had such big balls. That's what they called people trying to shoot down the fucking airplane they were in. So it's basically like softball size holes are going through this guy's fucking wings, and he loses it. He goes into a spin. So he tells the two guys in the back that they got to bail out. So he's got to do this move where he brings up like the fucking flap on the right wing, and then something with the rudder. It basically causes the plane to kind of go sideways, and it gives these guys a chance to open the door in the back, because if they couldn't, the air pressure would like hold it tight. So the guy's doing this move as the front of his plane is on fire and the flames are lapping at his feet. He's doing this maneuver so his buddies can get out, and it works. Both his buddies jump out, and now the fucking plane, it's almost going to hit the goddamn water. It's in a flat spin. This guy takes off his seatbelt. He's still fighting it. You take the seatbelt off, that's the last thing. You're getting out. And at the last second, he catches it. And he comes out of the spin. And goes up. And then he looks back, seeing his two buddies fucking landing in the water. And they're going to swim and get taken prisoner by the Japanese. And the guy was completely, unconsolable. Landed on the aircraft carrier. It was just bawling. Just all he could say over and over again was, I took my seatbelt off, meaning I was going to bail out. It was just, you know, it's just fucking out. I butchered that story. Just imagine someone who can actually write telling you that story. It's a fucking unbelievable book. It'll make you a better person when you read it. And Jesus Christ. I think I'm going to read a whole bunch of books on the World War II now. And like the part of the war, I want to say specifically the Pacific Ocean. I just don't feel those words go together well. Particularly the Pacific Ocean part of it, because I all that shit, Okinawa, Iwo Jima, I don't know where any of that shit was. They had a map and everything. You know, dummy like me, actually, it was really... If it's going to be a book like that, where they show the dirt on both sides, that's the kind of shit that I like. Just firebombing cities. It's just fucking unreal. You know? You basically, on both sides in a war, you got war criminals. And then whoever wins gets to prosecute the other one, going, how could you be such a piece of shit? And everybody kind of did the same shit. That's what I was saying, the bow and arrows with the babies. Basically, when shit goes down, like babies die, it's unavoidable. Does this make any sense? Is this fucking horrific? I'm like 300 pages down this fucking road, and you guys haven't read the book yet. So you're probably looking at me like I'm a maniac. Why the fuck is it so hot in here? Anyways, hopefully I'm able to get this podcast up on time. You know, last week I recorded it on time, and there was something going on with the goddamn recording. Well, who's kidding who? You know what that something was. It was me. So I actually recorded it on Sunday and still couldn't get it up until fucking Monday afternoon. I'm the worst. All right, what have we talked about? Oh, yeah, so I started reading up on all this stuff about the war with the Japanese and shit, and I didn't realize. Do you know there was like three Japanese soldiers that didn't surrender until 1974? One of them wasn't aware that the war wasn't over. We'll call him Bill. That's some shit I would have done. The other two guys knew the war was over, but they were like, I'm not fucking standing down until the fucking Grand Poobah tells me to, because that's what I was told when I went. They just were like Dudley Do-Rights. These fucking maniacs stayed in the woods for an extra 30 years in their uniform. Their guns still worked. They still had ammunition. Well, of course you did. The fucking war is over. And every once in a while, they'd run at some local fishermen and they'd take shots at them. Local fishermen were just like, come on, man. Let it go, man. It's over. They would drop leaflets in there and they were reading them and they thought it was a trick.
Oh, my God. Just sitting out there fucking eating squirrels for 30 goddamn years. You know, best friends like a fucking. What would you be friends with out there? I don't know. I'll give you the link to that shit before I just butcher it anymore. If anybody else knows any really good books about World War II where it's really balanced, because I read a few. I read this one that was great. I read The Rape of Nanking a long time ago. I read this Hiroshima diary about this guy who was in that city when the bomb hit. I read another one. I like those first part, like people who were there. I read one time about this Jewish kid who was on the run with his dad. It's a classic, too. I forget what the fuck it was called. I'm such an idiot. But at one point, he was kind of looking at his dad, and he was just like, just die already. Because he was, I don't know, was slowing him down or something. He has guilt about that. She was fucking unreal. Actually, it's kind of depressing when you think about it. But, who gives a shit? Hey, I got all caught up in Breaking Bad. I didn't have AMC in my hotel, so I came here and just binge-watched all fucking three of them. Jesus Christ. Is that the greatest fucking show ever? I don't want to overhype it, but it's fucking insane. I'm not going to talk about it. I should have said right out of the bat that I'm not going to say anything that happens in them. But I didn't think anything was going to beat The Wire. I guess I put them on par because The Wire, just the size of the subject and how many different angles they hit it from. But as far as keeping your stomach in absolute fucking knots, I don't know if I ever saw a show like this one, man. It's kind of funny because I always have like quick little scenes in them. And that's all they would ever give me is just like the little scene. So I don't know what's going on, which is kind of perfect because my character doesn't need to know what is going on and wouldn't know. Right? Saul would just call me up and say, hey, just fucking do this. And I'd be like, all right. So I always end up watching the episodes. I'm like, oh, that's what the fuck that was for. that happened this week. All right. So anyways, hey, how about the Red Sox, huh? Coming out to L.A., beating the fucking Dodgers. I would have loved to have gone to a game down there and not wore any Red Sox shit because fucking L.A. fans are such fucking psychopaths. Well, maybe they wouldn't have beaten me because I wasn't there with my children. Fucking pieces of shit. Good God almighty. You know, I don't know what the fuck, I don't know what happened out here. I don't get it. I don't get why that extra level, that gangbanger vibe is out here. There's gangs every fucking city. Are these like in L.A.? Are like these the only, or Southern California, I should say? Because I felt that vibe at a Chargers game too. Like, is this like the only part of the country where gangbangers are into like sports too? You know? You think you get some hard looks at a fucking Knicks game? You don't. Everybody's there having a good time. I don't understand it. They're going to have something to do with neck tattoos. Once you get the neck tattoo, I'll tell you what's fucked up. When I was in New Orleans, I saw two guys with face tattoos, and I couldn't believe how unshocking they were at this point. I've seen so many people with face tattoos at this point. This guy literally had one right in the middle of his forehead, and it wasn't a good one. You know? Jesus Christ. I thought I was dedicated to being a comedian or whatever. You put a tattoo on your face. I mean, that you've limited yourself to, I get, either working in a tattoo parlor or doing just illegal shit. Right? That's kind of a good way, you know, if you ever think that you don't have the balls to stop following the herd, just get a nice, you know what? Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't want to suggest that you get a fucking face tattoo. Please don't do that. Can you please not do that? Did I mention I was at the University of Cincinnati last night, Saturday night? By the time you get this, it'll be two nights ago. I want to thank everybody for having me out there. What a fucking beautiful school that is. Absolutely gorgeous, man. I love those. They have like the perfect size football stadium, and it's like built down in it, so into the campus, you know, so you come walking by, and it's really open, like you can just walk right into it. had that same vibe. Like when I went down to Florida State, like the students can like, you know, run the stairs if they want to. I love that shit. I hate when you go to those places and they got the stadiums like all locked up. I was surprised when I went to Boise, you know, and I was trying to look at the blue turf. I saw a little bit of it, that the whole stadium was just locked up like that. I figured Boise's a cool place, right? What are you worried about? The meth heads coming in, stealing the aluminum benches? Is that what it is? It probably is. I don't know. Oh, by the way, I want to thank Rolling Stone magazine for putting me on the cover this month. It finally happened for me. That was a big moment in my career. We'll definitely have a link. I know a lot of people don't read magazines at this point, so it's not a big deal. But it's a big deal to me, finally being on the cover of Rolling Stone. Actually, I have no idea who that kid is, but it fucking freaked me out when I saw it. All right. What am I talking about here? What do I got here? Huh? What am I going to go to the... Let's read one of these things here. Why don't we do that? Why don't we read a little fucking letter? Full moon, Mr. Burr. You mentioned something about the full moon in last week's podcast and how it causes strange behavior. I worked in an emergency room for 3 to 5 years, and when I started working there, I thought the theory was bullshit. He actually said bull. I don't want to make this guy sound crass. He goes, I now know it to be true. Every month during the week of the full moon, we get a surge of patients. Other than the plethora of fatties that clog our department. He spelled it plethora. We get weirdos. Example, a one-legged schizophrenic man with a suitcase of knives and a butane torch. I don't even know why. Other than the weirdos, though, we have a lot of really sick patients come in. There are more strokes, heart attacks, and other serious health-related issues. I have recently heard a theory on why this is from another healthcare professional. Well, thank God you went in this direction, buddy, because I thought for half a fucking second you were going to put this in my lap. All right, because I have no clue about any of this shit. All right, what do we got here? He goes, I too take a lot of what I hear as fact. All right, the theory is this. Even our blood has its own tide. Jesus Christ. Why don't I read up on science? This is like better than any fucking movie. Just the truth. What do you mean it has its own tide? When it goes out, is that when I get lightheaded? Is that what you're talking about? He goes, this may be minuscule. I love that you're spelling all these words wrong and you fucking work in an emergency room. But the lunar pole on our bloodstream can cause a person with health/heart problems to be at a higher risk for stroke/heart attack. It can also cause behavioral changes because of the change in our bodily function. Whether this is true or not, I cannot deny 3.5 years of dealing with hell every week the full moon appears. Thanks for the free entertainment and the laughs. So that's really interesting. So like, if that's true, so when there's a full moon, that's like when society's like menstruating. That's our once a month. Like everybody just acts like a fucking maniac. A one-legged schizophrenic with a suitcase full of knives and a butane torch. Jesus Christ, doesn't that sound, what the fuck was that movie Mickey Rourke was in that looked like a cartoon, but it wasn't? Jessica Alba had the chaps on, and she was a stripper, but she still looked like you could have her as a girlfriend. And then there was that guy with the yellow head and the red eyes. For some reason, remind me of the guy who played Beretta. Do you know I saw him when I was out here? I saw Robert Blake. That's a hell of a thing, running into a guy who fucking killed somebody. Or did he get off? I don't know. He fucking did it. Jesus Christ. You go into a Spaghetti Freddy's, you know, you go to take a piss and all of a sudden your girlfriend's shot in the head and nobody saw anything and you found her. Come on. Come on, Beretta. For reals. Come on. All right. Wisconsin's A-Rod. Yo, Billy Redface. Love the podcast and I would love to paint another picture of the A-Rod story. All right. My version is with Ryan Braun. I live in Wisconsin, where Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are basically a gift from God. I am a Chicago Bears fan, so I think they're all cunts. Sorry, I'm really reading worse than usual. All right. Braun, who also got popped for PEDs, had opened two restaurants with Aaron Rodgers called the 812 MVP Bar and Grill, since they were both named MVP in their respective sports. And I'm gathering that his number is 8. Is he a baseball player? I don't watch baseball. When the news broke about Braun getting suspended, Wisconsin was enraged. Not so much that he was cheating or being the bad image to kids or whatever. These parents who want to blame others for their kids' lack of luster or athletic skills, but because he lied to Aaron Rodgers. That's fucking awesome. Dude, Wisconsin has some great sports fans, and I love the fact that their fan base owns a part of the team, however the fuck that works, even though you know none of them are allowed in the board meeting. It's probably just by name only, and someday they'll realize how bad they got fleeced. Anyways, in the past month or so, when it came to the news reporting this story, local NBC, ABC, Fox, and CBS affiliates, within 10 seconds into the story, they talk about lying to Aaron Rodgers. When interviewing fans about it, all they talk about is, I can't believe he would lie to us and even lie to Aaron. Like everyone knows each other on a personal level. People need to quit taking professional sports too seriously and taking it personally. Especially when they are multimillionaires lying to other multimillionaires. Google search some of this to get a laugh at how brainwashed sports fans in my state are. Come to a show in Milwaukee during the football season to see for yourself. I've been up there. It's fucking great. Thanks and go fuck yourself. Well, look, I mean, how did he lie to Aaron? They got in business together. You know, it's not like he got on their football team. And then he said, well, you know, I'd like you to join the Packers as long as you're steroid free. They opened a business together. I don't give a fuck what you do. Just don't steal from the register. That would be more lying to Aaron Rodgers, right? Or do you think he actually sat down and said, well, listen, I have a great image. You know, last thing I needed to be doing is hitching my wagon to some guy who's then going to be, a fucking hookers and somebody stick a needle in his ass. I've never opened a business, as you can tell. I don't know how the interview process goes, but I don't feel like he lied to Aaron. Maybe they actually came up with this. Maybe this is a good cop, bad cop thing they're doing, where this other guy plays the bad guy, and then Aaron sits at the bar looking all dejected, and the cheeseheads walk by, and then they come in and they buy more fucking mozzarella sticks. You know, that could happen, right? I don't fucking know. Who gives a shit? You know what the fucking thing is? And I'm telling you, I'm pulling a Paul Verzey, and I said this 3 years ago. Within 20 years, everybody's going to be on steroids. Everybody's going to be on HGH, okay? We're all going to be on it. They're going to fucking get it to the same way weed is gradually becoming legal. That's what's going to happen with roids. All right? And now, how also, if you smoke weed now, if you have a vaporizer, you're just basically inhaling just the shit that gets you high. All right? So it's doing way less damage than sitting down drinking a bunch of Budweisers like I did on that fan boat out in the fucking bayou. They're going to do that with roids. Back in the day, you did some fucking roids, right? Your balls shrunk up and you went and you punched a horse in the fucking face. That's what happened. And now they're way more mellow. Although fucking Jerry Remy's kids snapped. I don't know. Jesus Christ, that's another fucking Boston story. You know, when all these stories came out, all this shit that's happened recently, I was actually thinking, well, you know, this is the balance. We had such an unbelievable decade, it has to balance it out, you know, with all this horrible shit happening now. And it's like, no, wait a minute. No, it was nothing but horror. So with those championships, that made us even. So now there's some horrible shit coming these last couple of years. So you know what that means? We're going to win some more championships coming up. That's how I look at it. Oh, by the way, any San Francisco 49er fans listening to this? How do you feel about old fucking Kaepernick out there fucking on the cover of every magazine, half naked with his fucking ass in the air, showing off his tattoos and his abs, doing commercials and all that type of shit? You'd think he won the fucking Super Bowl. Have you seen one goddamn commercial with Joe Flacco? Huh? Have you? I haven't. As a football fan,
I don't like when that shit happens. I'll tell you right now, once Tom Brady started experimenting with his haircuts and walking around with Uggs, going to fashion shows, I don't know. We haven't won one since. Doesn't that sound like some typical moron shit that you'd hear on sports talk radio? The rent-a-car I had when I was in Boston was tuned to sports talk radio, and I can't fucking listen to it. It's just a dumb. I put it on, and they were criticizing Big Poppy, saying he's a selfish player, and all. It's classic Boston fucking morons, sports fans, where it's just inevitable they're going to eat their own. You mean the guy who fucking helped, was one of the main factors in ending that curse, the 86-year curse of the babe, all of that fucking horse shit. That guy should be able to shit in the street for the rest of his fucking life. Not even 10 years later, you're already saying that the guy's selfish. Shame on you, Boston Sports Talk Radio. Shame on you. All right, let's get back to the podcast here. Sorry, guys. So I'm actually predicting you guys might have a little bit of a hangover there in San Francisco. Your coach is putting on weight, right? Filling out those dockers more and more every week, trying to will his people to win. Actually, I think Kaepernick's going to do great, but I always get nervous with quarterbacks who run around like that. Eventually, those linebackers, they get sick of that shit, and they get an open shot at you, and they next thing you know, you're bleeding into your lung. Advice for a skinny guy. All right, here we go. Hey there, Billy Boy. First time, long time. Thanks for all the last. No worries. All right. It's great that you're helping out those who are overweight by shaming them. Is that what you're saying? I've helped out a couple. I've probably had other people have their face in a bucket of KFC right now. But if I may, I'd like to ask for advice for a guy who's a little on the thin side of the spectrum. I'm tall, 6'7", and weigh around 155, 160 pounds. Dude, I can't fucking help you. You're 6'7", 150. I weighed 155 in high school, and I swear to God, I looked like I was going to get blown down the street. Jesus Christ, dude. Even though I eat quite a bit and eat regularly, I even also have protein/meal supplement drinks in between. Dude, don't fucking drink those things. I don't know shit about them, but don't drink those things. That fucking powder thing that comes into that Breaking Bad fucking oil drum. Don't do that, dude. All those supplements and all that type of shit, don't fucking do that. All right? Just accept who you are. We all want to look a little bit better, all right? Believe me. Trust me on this one. You're going to fill out. All right? It happens. Whether you want it or not. So enjoy the fact that you can kind of eat whatever the fuck you want to. But my gut tells me to... I don't fuck around with shit like that. That creatine and that fucking muscle milk stuff and all that shit. You turn it around on the back, you can't even pronounce half the shit that's in it. There's no fucking way that stuff's good for you. There's no way that thing's it's going to be better for you than sitting down eating a nice grass-fed fucking steak there. Granted, I don't know shit about nutrition, but I'm also not a fucking moron. All right? Anyways, he goes, my siblings are just as tall as I am, and they are not thin like me. I'm also 23. Is it metabolism? Dude, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. Will I pass this stage? I don't know. I am somewhat comfortable with myself, and I have a smoking girlfriend of 5 years. Well, go fuck yourself then, dude. Come on. Who loves me for who I am but wouldn't mind a few pounds? Oh, wait a minute. Is she bringing it up? Should I binge on pasta? Thanks, Bill. I bought the razors because of you. Well, I hope the razors work out for you. Jesus Christ, dude, with your height, you probably need to order them twice. No, dude, listen. You got to be who the fuck you are, all right? Would you ever say to your girl, like, hey, you know, I'd like it if you lost a few? You can't, you know, I don't know if she just made one comment and forgot she even said it or she's literally giving you a body image. But I'll tell you, dude, one of the greatest things you can ever do in life is accept yourself. All right. And I'm not saying like, hey, you know, I'm doing something unhealthy to myself and I accept it. I don't mean that. I mean, like, accept what the fuck you look like and just, you know, just be a good shit. And it everything falls into place. You don't need to go out there and drink muscle milk and eat fucking angel hair pasta, you know,
set your alarm and get up at 3 in the morning and go eat that shit. You're 23 years old. You're supposed to be in good shape, all right? Okay, so you're a little fucking underweight. Who gives a fuck? Dude, you know what you're built like? You're built like Snoop Dogg. He seems to be doing fine. You know? I would not try to gain any weight. I wouldn't try to lose any weight. I would just keep doing what you're doing, all right? You're a guy, you're 6'7", you weigh about 160 pounds, you're 23, and you have a smoking hot girlfriend who loves you for who you are, and she made one fucking comment about putting a few more pounds on. Just let that go right by you. I wouldn't even worry about that, all right? You're a good man. You look how you're supposed to look, all right? Put that fucking powdered nuclear waste away. I don't know what the fuck that shit does to your kidneys or your liver or whatever, but... You know, when the ingredients look like the last name of Russian hockey players, you know, or the fucking Swedes. I think the Swedes got the most difficult names. That's a good time to fucking, you know. The only time to eat shit like that is if you're orbiting the Earth. Other than that, you know, go to a farmer's market like a goddamn human being. All right, organizing porn. Bill, on a recent podcast, you complained about the difficulty of searching porn on the road. Did I? I thought I was talking about how I wanted to stop watching porn. I might have said that on a podcast in the past, and you just listened to it. I don't fucking know. But recently, I've been trying to cut down on it. I've been trying to watch it only on Sundays. And that's not a slap to the face to whoever created all of this shit. It's just, you know, Sunday's a day of rest. And I like to be totally relaxed. If I can open up to you guys a little bit. I'm sorry. All right. Anyways, he says, as I also have a job that requires me to travel a lot, I know all too well the frustration of unreliable internet connections and the sheer amount of time wasted on searching for the perfect porn video. So let me tell you about a little trick I recently discovered. Paying for porn. I know paying for porn feels counterintuitive, but it's worth it. Here's what you do. Well, this is the only reason why I don't pay for porn is because I don't want my credit card on the porn site. And then if they double swipe it, I don't want to have to call the credit card company saying that, you know, youjizz.com fucking double swiped my credit card and I'm really upset by it. Or no, even worse, they'd call me up, you know. You know, did you fucking, I don't know, you can't even come up with a good fucking, did you assbag 9000? Did you fucking rent that? No. Did you rent fucking scatbag on the assbag returns? Yeah, I ordered that one. No, I'm kidding. I'm not into scat, everybody. The German kind or like the shit that Scatman Crothers did. I hate, did I ever tell you how much I hate scat singing? I'll tell you one of the worst scat singers of all the time would be fucking Frank Sinatra at the risk of pissing off all the Italian Americans. His scat singing at the end of Strangers in the Night. Doobie doobie doo doo doobie die die dee die da da doo. He sounded like Joe Piscopo doing him before Joe even did it, right? Anyways, let's go back to this shit. So let me tell you what I learned. A little tricky thing, paying for porn. I know paying for porn feels counterintuitive, but it's worth it. Here's what you do. Find a site that has the kind of content that you're looking for. Make sure that the site allows for downloading and isn't just streaming only. This is key. Download all your favorite videos to an external hard drive. Ah, Jesus Christ, dude. And then what? The FBI kicks open the fucking door? And make sure you cancel your membership before your 30 days is up or else they'll charge you again. Once you've done all that, you'll have a drive full of high-quality porn that you can keep forever, and you don't even need an internet connection to watch it. Jesus Christ, this guy might have something figured out here. Between the external hard drive, that's $50 to $100, and a one-month subscription, $25 to $30, you're looking at about $80 to $100 initial setup. Dude, that math doesn't work out. You're looking at $75 to $130. All right? You kind of fucking alligator on both ends of it. Whatever, I suck at math, so. No, actually, I don't suck at that kind of math. I suck at the kind that, you know, once you have to learn how to build a bridge. You know, once there was shapes and there was these paragraphs, right, you had to memorize. I even did okay in algebra. If I wasn't such a jerk off, I could have fucking got the C- and not have to go to summer school, but that's a whole other fucking thing. Also, I trashed my teacher had a speech impediment, so I used to make fun of him. That was stupid. So when I kind of had a 69, he didn't give me the 70, and he fucked my summer. Anyways, where am I? You're looking at about $800 initial investment, but think of all the time and frustration you'll save by not having to deal with surfing for porn on the road. It's changed the way I travel. Dude, you sound like you just bought the ultimate, like, neck pillow. Pillow. However the fuck you say that word. By the way, I fucking hate those things. Yeah, I hate when you fucking walk around the airport and those fucking douchebags have those neck pillows already around the neck. I always just want to punch them right in the nose. It's because they already look like they have that neck brace on. How fucking lazy are you? You can't hold your head up when you're walking around. Sorry. Anyways, Bill, thanks for the free hours of entertainment. They've got me through countless boring flights and cab rides. Well, dude, so now if I download my favorite ones, well, the ones is when I find one that I really like, I always forget the name of it, and then I can't find it, and then I try to search like these. I try to come up with words that describe what I watched, and it never comes up. Like, the search engine on these sites stinks, so maybe that's a reason to do it. And also, if I want people to pay for my fucking DVDs, shouldn't I be paying these porn stars? Aren't I being a hypocrite? God damn it, I think I've convinced myself through you trying to convince me. People, I think it's high time. How come Ulrich didn't speak out about that? Well, I guess it wasn't happening to them back in the day. Ah, Jesus, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about here. All right, overrated, underrated for the week, everybody. Guys using the term slut to refer to his male friend. That's overrated. As in, what up, slut? Oh, Jesus. Guys say that to each other? That sounds terrible. He said a kid I hadn't talked to in a while, whom I was supposed to meet up with in New York City, dropped this on me. And not only did I tell him I didn't want to hang out, I told him I wanted to connect my knuckles to his teeth in a way that would send them across Times Square. Yeah, that's bad. What up, slut? That sounds like something one white frat guy would say to another white frat guy. You know, and then do some bastardized version of some gangster sign. Right? I have an underrated for you, everybody. Watching reruns of T.J. Hooker. T.J. Hooker is arguably the worst acting ever on any show that ever happened. Or at the very least, I would put it up there. All right? Well, let's say you had the March Madness of worst TV shows, all right, that anybody ever acted on. T.J. Hooker, without a doubt, would be a number one seed in one of the regions. They would be like Duke. It's fucking horrific. First of all, it was the episode I saw him and the Armenian dude, or whatever the fuck his name is, who's pretending to be Italian, Romano. They get separated, and they're on walkie-talkies, and somebody's shooting at T.J. Hooker. And Romano's going he's calling T.J. Hooker. And I don't know why he's not saying T.J. He's just going, Hooker! And then they'd show fucking T.J. Hooker with his fucking awful toupee, where half the show, it doesn't even match his fucking sideburns. More gunplay. And they cut back to Romano again, and he goes, Hooker! And then fucking Captain Kirk, any chance he gets to fondle and get cheap feels on Heather Locklear, he does it. He rescued her one time, and he was literally like caressing her face just for like fucking the final like 90 seconds of the show. It was just rubbing the side of her face. And you could tell she's like a young actress, and she doesn't know how to say in between takes like, hey, do you want to do me a favor and maybe just have your hand on my shoulder just for a second? Yeah, because I just don't feel like your character and my character. That's how you talk your way out of somebody doing something weird in a scene, and she doesn't know how to do it. Just imagine them running around in Larry Bird short shorts, because they do that also. And Captain Kirk is sucking in his fucking stomach. Whatever. Don't listen to this here. Just sit down and watch it if you can find it on your cable. I'm telling you.
unbelievably underrated. By the way, my tickets came for fucking Texas A&M, Alabama, College Station. Me, dude, I called it, Paul Verzi, and two of my other buddies outside of the business are going to go to the game, and we're taking some fucking, I'm doing a couple of gigs. Oh, that's right. I'm doing El Paso, part of the Billy Red State Tour, and then I'm doing San Antonio. I've never been to either one of those cities in that state. So I feel like at this point, when I perform in those two, I've hit them all, right? I've been to Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, El Paso. The fuck else is there? I went to a game at the Cotton Bowl, right? I'm going to go see Texas A&M. Who else do I got to see? I got to see Texas Tech. I got to see the Longhorns at some point, but I went to the Red River game, so I saw them. I saw them play Oklahoma. I got to go fucking pig hunting down there. You want to go pig hunting? We'll fucking do it, buddy. We got the biggest fucking pig. I got it. It's big. We're in Texas. I get it. Yeah, oh, yeah. By the way, you know what? Now that I'm done with my Glee shoot there. No, I told you what it was. It's called Black and White. Comes out next year. I'm not going to bore you with it because it's not going to come out until next year. But when it does, oh, golly gee. I'm going to hopefully get the director, Mike Binder, who's one of my favorite comics when I was growing up. Hopefully I'll get him on the podcast here. All right, hang on a second. Let me go to my website here. What's your website, Bill? Oh, it's BillBird.com. Thank you for asking. Thank you for being interested. Isn't that sweet of you? All right, here's some of my upcoming shows that I have. Because I had to move around the Billy Red State tour. Oh, would you look at that? All right, Tuesday night, I'm co-headlining. I'm opening for Brian Regan. That's already sold out at Cobb's Comedy Club. All ticket proceeds go to charity. Which I don't know. I pitched it to him. I always wanted to work with him. And I was like, come on, man. Well, you know, I'll open for you. We'll get shit-faced afterwards. And he goes, yeah, we'll give the money to charity. Yeah, fuck it, let's do it. So hopefully if this goes well, I'm going to start doing that with some other guys I'd like to work with, you know? I'd like to work with other fucking headliners that I love and I never get to see because they're always out headlining, right? I'd like to do that with a couple others and just do them, and then just do shows in the middle of fucking nowhere. All right, so here we go. September 4th. A rescheduled Billy Red State extravaganza at the Boulder Theater. September 5th, I'm going to the Broncos game. Why not? Opening game of the NFL season. September 6th, I'm at the Pike Peak Center, Colorado Springs, Colorado. That's also a Red State rebooking. And then I got the Spotlight 29 Casino in Coachella, California on September 7th. And I'll read the next week after that. I'm at the Abraham Chavez Theater in El Paso, Texas. That's a Red State one. And then because I'm on my way over to fucking College Station, why not stop at the Lilla Cockrell Theater in San Antonio, Texas? I hope I said that right. I've never been there. I heard it's fucking great. And Paul Verzi will be on both of those Colorado dates in the Spotlight Casino. We'll have Rose Bowl legend and Cook. Jason Lawhead, who's just growing by leaps and bounds. It's one of my favorite things that I'm watching in the business right now. The fucking guy's hilarious. Try and come out to those shows. That is it. And that's the podcast for this week. I was supposed to mention at the top of the podcast because I know I have some new listeners. If you like my shit and you'd like to see my new stand-up special that came out last year, or did it come out this year? Last year it came out. You people are all the same. You can download it for $5. Or you can get your very own hard copy DVD version for $20 delivered right to your fucking house, wherever the hell you live. Whatever country, I don't give a shit. All right? You can do that at BillBird.com. Click on the, the merchandise button? Is that what it is? Merch. Click on merch. That's it. All right? That's the podcast for this week. Have a great week. Don't put that powdery shit in your goddamn drink. All right? Don't do it. Okay? Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.